It is that time of the year again. The leaves are turning, the days are getting shorter, temperatures are dropping. Yet not for Dr. Alexander Kumar. For the past 9 months, he has been living at Concordia Station in Antarctica, one of the most remote places in the world. He's been conducting research for the European Agency's Human Spaceflight Program on the effects of cold, dark, and isolation. After months without sun, it is now spring in Antarctica. We reach Dr. Kumar at the Concordia Station.
Dr. Kumar, how's the weather today?
The weather is minus 60 degrees Celsius, relatively warm. We could go out and sunbathe. The sun's back with us.
The sun is back. How many hours of sunlight are you now getting?
Oh, nearly maybe 18 to 20. It's incredible. It's even, you know, I had a very late night last night on the basis that the sun was bothering me through the window at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and woke me up.
How many months did you spend without seeing the sun?
It was over 3 months that we were in complete darkness here, and that was a trying time.
We've talked to you about this before, but tell us some of the things that make that so difficult.
Well, the Antarctic winter I've described as a psychological marathon. I mean, make no mistake, this is the worst winter in the world. And, you know, we all go through our own individual and personal journeys. First of all, of course, there's a lack of the light itself, which means that it pushes your circadian rhythm and your physiology into disrepair, I should say. The second thing is, of course, we all feel like we're dangling by thin threads. And with that, that's how our minds are, in that anything can snap those threads at any time in terms of the way that you live normal routines. We can leave ourselves susceptible here in 24-hour darkness to what's known as free running, where our circadian rhythm effectively free runs through different time zones of the world. And certainly a couple of the members of the crew here did that, whereby night upon night they would change through from Easter Island to Hong Kong. So it's a very challenging time. But more so, it's only really by undergoing such a journey, and I would describe it as one of the greatest journeys in the world, that you really come to, you know, face yourself, face one's own soul, as deep and meaningful as that may sound. You know, out on this Antarctic white background wasteland, you really have nothing else to do. It sounds probably quite strange, but it's also quite a unique process to undergo, and I think it can only make you stronger as a person if it doesn't break you.
And did you ever have a time when you thought those last few threads might snap?
Oh, for sure. That's one of the excitements of living down here. I mean, it's the best and worst of times, as Charles Dickens described. You know, I would apply the same to the Antarctic winter. There's times when you'll be tested, you know, and your patience will be the lowest. You feel like, especially as you approach August before the sun comes back, that you're on your last reserve. But there is a false sense of hope. That, you know, with the sunrise, everything will come better again. But actually, the Antarctic winter does take its toll on people, on their minds, on their bodies, on their spirits. But certainly a sense of humor gets you through the winter, if that's what you mean.
Does it mean that you have to have the kind of personality or character that you're describing before you would do something like the experiment you're doing, or to go and spend a long time in space, that you'd have to have a lot of confidence, sense of humor, a whole personality that would help you survive that?
Well, ultimately, I think to come down here, you don't have to be mad, but I think that certainly, to be mad, it certainly helps. If that answers your question. But definitely there's been a lot of psychological screening of people coming down here for many, many years. There's no gold standard. That means that there's no answer to say who is right and who doesn't fit down here. Certainly when it comes to astronauts and outer space, having gone through 9 months nearly of complete isolation, I'm of the belief that you will need to be trained and need to have undergone a similar experience if you're ever thinking about going on a one-way mission to Mars before thinking about the return, and that it will take 8 to 9 months to get there, and you have to know that you can deal with that. Living as we do here, we have nothing around us for over 1,000 kilometers in most directions. Our closest neighbors are Vostok Station, a Russian station, but otherwise our closest human beings to us are astronauts on board the International Space Station orbiting above us. So it's an incredible feeling of isolation. And I think you have to know, you know, and you have to have been through a similar experience to know for sure that you can deal with that kind of thing.
But are you going to be happy to get off that iceberg?
It's mixed feelings, really. You know, I think I've started to think up something called reentry syndrome, which is a term I'd apply to, you know, this anxiety that you get of rejoining civilization, of rejoining, you know, the queue in the bank or the post office, of withdrawing money, of using money, of standing in the supermarket looking for the ripest fruit. I think I'll probably stand there and maybe 10 or 15 minutes with what's known as the 1,000-yard stare that we all have down here, of just staring long and deep into the horizon. But it's certainly an anxious time, you know, but whilst I think it'll be nice to go back to see friends and family, and certainly my Siberian husky puppy, who's now a vicious monster, I hear, at home, eating shoes and pens and whatever else. I think, you know, if you come down here and make a link with Antarctica in terms of that bond of overwintering, you'll miss that. And it's what brings people back season after season.
Well, Dr. Kumar, I'll take you at your word that it's a fascinating place to spend a winter. I won't be doing it.
Well, I don't blame you, in all honesty. You have to come down here to know you either do or don't want to do it again. But as strange as it may sound, stepping away from the world's problems, you almost see the grander picture of life. And for me, it's about helping health inequality and getting back into that. And I certainly will be going over to the tropics, at least to work for a period of time. And with that, I guess it comes with the phrase, out of the frying pan and into the oven, in certain respects.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Kumar. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Carol. Bye.
Dr. Alexander Kumar is conducting research for the European Space Agency's Human Spaceflight Program. He's at Concordia Station in Antarctica. That's where we reached him.